Welcome back. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All right. We've been talking about it all week. We're finally just more than 24 hours away from kickoff, divisional round of the AFC playoffs, Patriots and the visiting Tennessee Titans. And we've talked about the Titans in a lot of different ways. Let's get one last perspective for the week from Darren McFarland, who's a radio host at 102.5 The Game in Nashville. He's on the phone line with us now. Darren, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Thanks for having me, and yeah, that's all we've been talking about, too. Of course, no one, and I mean no one's giving the Titans a chance, especially up in the Northeast. They're trying to figure out why the Patriots even have to play this game. But Kansas City may have had those same thoughts, too, especially at halftime, and we found out you do have to play 60 minutes or you might lose, and that was the case last weekend.
How confident are you guys? Since we're overlooking the Titans, how confident are you guys?
Well, I mean, it's hard to be confident against the Patriots, right? They're the standard in the NFL. It's like being confident against Alabama in college football. It sounds silly to say out loud. I mean, of course, you know, the players are confident and the coaches are confident because you have to at this level. I mean, if you made it to the NFL and you're playing at the highest level, you obviously have tons of confidence. But, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of things would have to go the Titans' way. And that's what we've been talking about all week. I've talked to a bunch of formers that played. I was up in Foxborough for an entire week back in January 2004, covering that Titans-Patriots game when it was, I think, 0 degrees at kickoff and like negative 20 wind chill. I mean, it was the coldest football game I've ever been to. Just walking from the car to Gillette Stadium was the coldest walk I've ever had in my entire life. And the Titans hung in there. They hung in there. In fact, I had a great conversation with Drew Bennett yesterday, former Titans wide receiver, who had two unbelievable catches in that game, but unfortunately had the fourth down drop that was right in his hands, and he was wide open. And that was what everybody remembers, unfortunately, the drop by Drew Bennett. People forget that he had two incredible catches prior to that, but the Titans fell 17-14. I don't think it's going to be 17 or 14 points can win this. Obviously, weather conditions back then played a big part in that game. The Titans were a much better team than probably viewed this year's team as being viewed. That team went 12-4 in the regular season. They were really, really good. But weather, believe it or not, just like last weekend in Kansas City, I've been to cold, cold games at Arrowhead Stadium. We know in Kansas City and in Foxborough this time of year, it can be really dicey. And the Titans didn't have to deal with that last weekend, and I don't think, from all the conversations I've had with folks up in the Boston area and Foxborough area, that weather's going to play a factor in this one either.
Well, it's supposed to rain in the morning, and then it's going to get real cold, so we don't know what exactly it's going to do at night. Let me ask you this, Darren. I've got it in my head what the Titans' game plan should be and what the formula is. If the Titans are to win this game, how is it going to play out?
Well, I think there's going to be two or three key ingredients. I mean, one is, and it's what every team has to deal with when they play Tom Brady. Applying the pressure without getting, you know, you have to be careful. And Dick LeBeau is a mastermind at that. He's been around the NFL for a long, long time. He's 80 years old. He's a Hall of Famer. But you got to know when to apply the pressure, when to come after Tom Brady. And it's just the mind game, right? It's the back and forth of him trying to figure out what they're doing on defense. Because if you blitz Tom Brady a lot, he'll make you pay. But you do have to get to him. You have to apply the pressure. Miami showed that, and other teams have shown it in the past. The Dolphins did it on Monday Night Football this year, not too long ago. They applied real pressure to Tom Brady. They made him very uncomfortable, and the Dolphins came away with the win. But like I said, it's a delicate balance. You have to be careful because you just can't bring everything in the kitchen sink on Tom Brady. He will make you pay. So that is one key. You've got to get to Tom Brady, but you have to be careful doing it. The other thing is, on the offensive side of the ball, Marcus Mariota has to play his best game of his career. And Derrick Henry has to run the ball like he did last week and not 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville, where he had 28 carries for 51 yards and a 1.8 average. Last week, he was the Derrick Henry that we all thought that the Titans had in him. And he admitted that week leading up to the game against the Chiefs that he ran soft. He was embarrassed by his play and that he was going to prove that's not what kind of running back he is. And he went out there and proved it. He had a tremendous game. You can run on New England. They are a bend but don't break defense, but you can run on them. And the Titans are going to have to do that if they have any chance of winning on Saturday night.
What did you make of the whole coaching situation going into last week? Right before the game kicked off, we heard that Mike Mularkey could be fired if they lost, and that Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels could be the guy they target. Is Mularkey's job safe now because they got a playoff win?
Yeah, it's a strange deal, and obviously we've talked about it a lot. Ian Rapoport seemed to be the guy nationally that was kind of out in front of this, and I've said many times on the radio show, look, just me speculating, just me trying to connect the dots. If Ian Rapoport is out in front of this story, Ian Rapoport covered the Patriots for a long time. This just in, Titans general manager John Robinson was with the Patriots for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know anything. I'm just saying it's pretty easy. That Ian Rapoport, for him to be strong about that story for 2 weeks in a row, and I know Adam Schefter and Jay Glazer were two other guys that were reporting, but it seemed like Ian Rapoport of NFL Network was the kind of the ringleader of this story. And to me, it seems like he's getting this from the front office and maybe a guy that spent a lot of time, many years, with the New England Patriots and Titans GM John Robinson without knowing that. But, I mean, it's pretty easy to narrow it down where he would be getting something like that that he would keep coming with. And, of course, Josh McDaniels was the guy that he was reporting the Titans may be targeting. It made for a very awkward situation.
Yeah.
After the Titans had just come off a playoff win, which was the first playoff win in 14 years.
Yeah.
And you think that would be the story, and yet there was real awkwardness. I mean, I called it all week. The head coach took a shot at the front office. The head coach took a shot at the GM and the Titans organization after a big win in Kansas City. I mean, he didn't back down at all, and to me, it was shots fired. And that makes for real weirdness after what should be a big celebration. I don't know where this is going. Obviously, Titans controlling owner Amy Adams Strunk came out with a statement shortly after that saying that Mike Mularkey is the head coach and he's going to be the head coach moving forward. How long is moving forward? I have no idea. Is it this week? Is it after the Patriots game? Moving forward is still very vague, but I'm not sure where this is going. To me, it's almost like this relationship may have gone too far where you can't go back and fix it, because to me it just feels like there's real tension and real weirdness between the head coach and the general manager.
Darren, let me ask you this, because everyone up here is assuming the Patriots are going to win this game pretty handily. So we know about Pittsburgh should the Pats play Pittsburgh in the AFC title game. The team we don't know a lot about is Jacksonville. You know a lot about Jacksonville. Titans actually beat them twice. What do you think of the Jaguars?
Well, I think of Jacksonville what everybody thinks of Jacksonville, right? And it's all going to end with the whipping boy, you know, Blake Bortles. Everybody's been taking their shots, including Titans players, which is been kind of amazing to see. And I've even said, you know, you beat them twice, you finish 5-1 in the division. The division has been your real hurdle. It's been your real stumbling block over the years. The Titans, it cost them last year getting into the playoffs. This year they were successful in the division and they swept the Jags, which is something they hadn't done in a while. And they took shots at Blake Bortles, which did surprise me, because I don't know why you even go there. You took care of your business. And Jacksonville's got a great defense. They can run the football. They've got weapons. They look like a complete team, minus the most important position in football, the quarterback. And Blake Bortles, while he was getting praise through the course of the season because he wasn't hurting them, it looked like down the stretch he reverted back to the Blake Bortles we've seen early in his career. In San Francisco, against the Titans, and against Buffalo, even in a playoff win, he was awful. Other than him running the football, he was terrible. So that's really, you know, that's the report card on Jacksonville. They're a complete team. They're really good. They just don't have a franchise quarterback.
Darren, it was funny. I was in Jacksonville this year. I'm a Seahawk fan. I went down there for Jaguars Seahawks, and I thought to myself, this isn't that great an environment. They seem much more into the world's largest cocktail party between Georgia and Florida than they do the Jaguars. So let me ask you this. Hypothetical world where the Titans and the University of Tennessee are both really good. Which way are the fans gravitating down there?
Ooh, boy, that's a really good question. I mean, those are obviously – the two top dogs, even though the Predators are starting to make a lot of dents in this state with the run to the Stanley Cup final last year. It became a Predators town, without a doubt. Mm. I'm sure you saw the pictures and 150,000 people on the streets. It became a big party in Nashville. But wow, that is a real. And by the way, we've never had that. I guess I shouldn't say that, because I guess the early years of the Titans, when they were during success back in '99, that first year in their new home, UT was good. UT was coming off the national championship year, and they were still good in that window of being good. I don't know how to answer it. I guess in Nashville, it would probably be the Titans, but the Titans haven't helped that over the years because of the weirdness in ownership, lack of a presence in the market, lack of a real relationship between the ownership group and the fans and the city, where the Predators have been out of this world with that. I mean, there's a real relationship there between the fans and the community and the Predators. The Titans have done a bad job of that over the years. That's hurt them a lot. Well, that's a really good question that I'm not sure I could answer. I would say it would be neck and neck. It would probably come right down to the end. I mean, obviously there's a huge, huge UT contingency in Middle Tennessee, so it would be fun to see again. That's for sure.
Well, I get. Look, there's a show topic for you when you hit the dog days of summer and there's not that much going on. There's a topic for your show someday.
We're not far from there, so thanks. Thanks for the heads up,
Darren McFarland, 102.5 out in Nashville. We're talking a little Titans Patriots. Darren, we appreciate it. No one up here is going to wish you good luck. I'll wish you good luck for this weekend.
Well, I appreciate it, and it'll be fun to see how it all plays out.